Father, we thank you for this privilege and honor we have of coming before your throne. Lord, we all have different issues and problems in life every day. It's another now moment with another issue. But Father, you're with us in whatever we're going through. You're with us, Father, always, as we'll talk tonight. We'll talk about that tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter who we are, no matter what the storm of life is, you are with us. And we're so eternally thankful for that, Lord. And you've made available to us church services, Bibles, teaching CDs. You've made available to us Bible studies, things. And you've made available to us friends and family and people that we know that will share the word with us and pray for us. We're so blessed, Lord, and we thank you for that so much. And we have the honor of praying for others. We're thankful for that. Thank you for teaching us tonight, Lord. And literally, we will never be the same because of the word that is sown in our hearts tonight. It may come up 20 years from now, but it's sown in the seed of our heart. And we believe it, Lord. We trust you, and we set our love upon you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, believe it or not, we've reached the milestone of number 40 in our series of Walking in the Ways of the Lord. Yeah, you'll never get done with this series because it's all, you know, every time you take a step, you learn something new. So you're constantly learning how to walk in the ways of the Lord. Thank God he's teaching us. And he gave us a manual on how to do it. Praise God. The Bible. The title of today's message is The Goodness of God is Always With Us. You know, I need to know that. The goodness of God is always with us. Even when we don't recognize it being with us. And it is. He's always with us. And here's our little foundational statement for goodness. We're studying the fruit of the Spirit in this portion of Walking in the Ways of the Lord. And we're talking about the goodness of God for the last two messages, the fruit of goodness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are habitually others-centered. That's an important statement right there. The fruit of goodness is a habitual lifestyle for this person. It doesn't mean they won't slip up now and then. Don't mean that there's times when they won't be good. But their lifestyle as a whole is goodness. And when they're not, if that's your lifestyle, what's going to happen to you when you're not good? Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to start rising up and you're going to feel, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, you're going to start taking account of when you're not good. Because it's a lifestyle. It's something, it's actually supposed to be our lives because that's who we are in Christ. We are good because He is good. So, if it's the lifestyle for us, whatever a lifestyle is, it'll bother you when you're not that way. And you'll just repent of it. Mm-hmm. Repent, go to 1 John 1:9, confess it, and get deliverance from it. Mm-hmm. The first scripture we're going to use is Psalm 31, verse 19. Well, just as the title said, God is always with us. And I need to know that. I need to be so in tune with the love of God and the fact that He's always with us. When I'm going through troubles and storms of life, no matter how serious it is, no matter what it is, I need to have an indelible knowledge of knowing that God's goodness is with me. And why can God only do good? Because God is love. He is love, so He's incapable of doing anything that's not good, even though it doesn't appear to be good from our way of looking at it. But Psalm 31, verse 19, oh, how great is your goodness. And I see David just bellowing that out. You know, he's going through problems and issues in his life, and he's saying, oh, how great is your goodness. He's talking to God. Some of us don't, oh, I can't talk to God. You better learn how to talk to God. He wants you to talk to Him, just like we're talking. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men, which you have laid up. Now, what's that mean? It doesn't mean that he just laid it down and left it later. It means that he laid it up, or he's building this. It's like laying up treasure for someone. That's what it's talking about here. He's laying up goodness for us. He's laying up piles and mountains and storehouses full of goodness. Like you lay up something for your family or for a friend, or you got a 401k or something, and you're laying that up for your future when you retire, or you got a savings account, or you're doing something, you're saving something for to give to somebody. You're doing something for them, and you're making a pile here. Well, God has laid up things for us, which you have laid up for those who fear you. Now, we've talked about that word fear several times. In this context, now there's different ways that fear is used, even in the Psalms. This context that it's being used in is not being afraid of God. We talked about that before. This context, this definition of fear, is reverential fear. Reverential fear. Or you could say it, which you have laid up for those who reverentially fear you. It's a reverence, it's an awe, like a great king, and he is. But you're not afraid to be in his presence. For one thing, you'd never come to him if you were. I don't go around people I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of anybody that I know of. But if I was, I wouldn't go around them, would you? You have no reason to go there. Well, come to me, all you who are afraid of me. No, that's not what he says. Come to me, all you who labor. So he wants us to come to him. It's the desire of God's heart. That's why he did everything. Mm-hmm. So that we can come to him. But if we don't come to him, then he can't help us. He wants to. Mm-hmm. But because of love, he's not going to invade my circumstances. Mm-hmm. And if I come to him afraid and ask him to do something, he can't do that either, because there's no faith in that. So I have to watch how it's written, what it's saying. Now, in Psalm 27, David uses the word fear as being afraid in a part of what he says. We don't have time to go there, but look at that. We'll use Psalm 27 later. But there are times when you will see the word fear used as being afraid. So look at the context that it's in order to know the difference between the two. But this is clearly God saying he's done something for those who revere him, that is coming to him, that is loving him. You're not going to love somebody you're afraid of. Then it says, which you have prepared. So this is something, not only has he laid it up, but he's already prepared it. He didn't even wait for me to come. He just went ahead and fixed it. You know, had I known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. No, he baked a cake in case you came. You see, it's not a cake, but he is interested. He just feels you're going to come. You know, that's God's faith out there. Which you have prepared for those who do what? Trust. And again, you're not going to trust God if you're afraid of him.
Right.
So see, that totally defeats using that word fear as being afraid. And then it says, who trust you in the presence of the sons of men. Who's the sons of men? That's mankind.
That's people.
That's people. So I'm trusting God no matter who I'm with. No matter what the circumstances are. I'm trusting God. I'm letting it know that he's my Father. He's my God, I trust him. No matter what anybody else says around me, I'm going with God. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Then we're going to look at Psalm 23 next. In the last verse of Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23, and you could use the whole thing, because we've used it before in our series on walking in the ways of the Lord, talking about the Lord being our shepherd. But in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely. I love that word because that means absolute. It means that this is real, surely. Surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because I'm being good. I'm walking in goodness and mercy. I'm allowing God's goodness and mercy to flow through me. Now, mercy, the word says that God is full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And he's full of goodness. So that means there's no room for anything else. Mm-hmm. Because love is goodness, love mm-hmm. is mercy. And God is love. Mm-hmm. So he's saying it's going to follow me. Why will it follow me? It doesn't mean that it's tagging along behind and I'm going through all these troubles up front and problems and issues, but God's mercy is behind me. No, it means I'm walking in the goodness and mercy of God. Therefore, wherever I am, it has been. It's in my path. So wherever I go, the result of where I've been, the result of my being there, has showed up with goodness and mercy. It's following me. It's a trail that I'm leaving behind me. But if I keep leaving it behind me, it's in my now moment in order for me to leave it behind. So I am being good. I am being merciful. Why? Because of his goodness and mercy flowing through me. Glory to God. That's good stuff. At least I think it is. Then it doesn't say just occasionally when I feel like it. He says all the days of my life. And because of this goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, I'm dwelling in the place of mercy and goodness. I'm dwelling there. This is a place I live. This is a place I habitually exist in. And that's what David is saying. Now, he says the same thing in Psalm 27 about dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. That's a desire that he has. Why? I don't think that desire ever left David. Now remember, David did not have the Holy Spirit inside. He was not born again. David had the Spirit upon, but not the Spirit inside. We have the Spirit inside and upon. How much more should we be like that? How much more should we want that, to dwell in the house of the Lord? That's not exactly a physical dwelling place. Like I go to 233 Cartall, and that's a house there, and when I get in, I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. Well, you should be, because this is the house of the Lord. But anyways, it means I exist in him. Mm-hmm. It means I'm continuously existing in God mm-hmm. and him in me. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that here shortly. But so this is a position that we need to see ourselves in. And it says, I will. So that's a quality decision. Who's making that decision there? I will. I will. I will dwell. So, in other words, if he didn't make that decision to dwell in the house of the Lord or to be in the presence of God and to walk with God, if that person doesn't make that decision, then they won't dwell there. Where will they dwell? In the nasty now and now. And wind up in hell. And I don't want to do that. But all the days of my life, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to have my dwelling place with God. Mm-hmm. And only I can make that decision. Mm-hmm. I can hear about it. I can make a decision maybe one time, but I'd like to do that and never do it.
Yeah. There's a beautiful song called There's Joy in the House of the Lord.
Yes, I love that song.
It's so pretty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's a decision. We can sing the song
and
never do it. Mm-hmm. See, I have to make a decision in my daily life that I want to walk with God. And then as God shows me what that means to walk with him, mm-hmm. that means I'm making decisions of loving kindness and tender mercy as I go through my life. It means when I get angry, I control that anger. It means when I somebody's angry with me, I respond differently than I would before. Mm-hmm. And if I respond back in like kind, then I repent of that. I fix it. I don't want to be that way in my life. I don't want that in my life. So I have to do something with that. I responded wrong. So I take it as a sin. I confess it to the Lord, 1 John 1:9, and He forgives me and cleanses me of that, as if I never did it. It doesn't mean I won't have to correct it with the person. I may or may not. Mm-hmm. Whatever the Lord impresses me to do at that time. But taking serious how we walk our steps. Yes. That's what this whole series is about. Walking in the ways of the Lord, that's the best place to be. Mm. It's when you are walking right in the earth, no matter what's going around you. And you'll walk in peace. You'll be victorious. It may take some time to turn things around, but you already have the answer when you go into the problem, because God is with you and He'll never forsake you. Look at 1 John 4:15 and 16. Now David said twice in Psalm 27 and Psalm 23, and Moses talked about it in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, talking about dwelling. And there's other scriptures that talks about dwelling in the secret place, or dwelling in the dwelling in the temple of the Lord. It's talking about relationship, intimate, deep relationship. So here's John's talking about it too, but he's defining it a little stronger. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, the end of the Bible, whoever, now we mentioned that whoever, mm-hmm. that's a qualifier. It means that anybody that makes this decision, mm-hmm. anybody can. There's nobody that is left out here. Whoever. Doesn't matter how bad you are or what you've done, whoever. Mm-hmm. If you're alive, you're whoever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're making this decision, but the ability to do it is there. And God's made the provision so that you can. Mm-hmm. Whoever confesses, now you've got to talk again. Mm-hmm. You've done it. Mm-hmm. You did it, and you admitted to it that you did it. But this is talking about somebody that's serious. I'm the one that has to do this. I'm confessing my sin, not yours. This is me. I have to confess what I did. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else did, you're coming before God saying, this is me. Now, like one minister said, when you confessed it wasn't when God found out about it. He already knew you did it. But when you confess it is when you get rid of it. Mm-hmm. If you don't confess it, you can't get rid of it. See, it's not just coming in there, Lord, I did it, and walk out the door. No, you're receiving something when you do that. Mm-hmm. You're coming before the throne of God and you're saying, God, I did that. I know it's not right, and I confess it. And Lord, I know you've already forgiven me 2,000 years ago on the cross. But I receive that forgiveness that Jesus bought for me. I thank you, Father. I receive it. It's mine, and I thank you for it. The Amplified says that when you do that, mm-hmm. He continuously cleanses you. Continuously. It's an ongoing work. Mm-hmm. So it's something that you confess it today, and Satan comes up and reminding you of what you did or somebody else does. You don't have to run and confess it again. Mm-hmm. You've already confessed it. He's continuously cleansing you of whatever that was. So it's so awesome. God is so awesome. But it's continuous. I have to do the coming, though. I have to do the confessing. I have to admit that I was wrong and be willing to do whatever God says to make it right. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that's what I'm confessing here. Not just my sins. In those days, see, these are just not words. Okay, I confess Jesus as the Son of God. So what? I'm done. I'm saved. You didn't make a life change. In those days, when you said that, you died. Literally. You were erased from ever being a human being, as far as the Jews are concerned. That's why they told Peter and John, after they raised that guy up at the temple gate, didn't we tell you not to teach in that name? They didn't even say the name. They say in that name. Why? Because Jesus was crucified. It was as if he never existed.
That's what the curse was.
His family couldn't talk about him. He never existed.
He never existed.
Yeah, and they were especially not supposed to say his name.
Never say the name again. That name is erased.
And if somebody said that name, like when they were talking about Jesus, those guys were going, "Don't say that name."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, and that's why they got in such trouble, because they're standing in the temple, speaking that name. We don't understand these things, so we don't see the emphasis on it. So
when you say someone's name, there's power in that.
There is power in that. All that person is. That's his whole existence. Mm-hmm. That's why names are so important.
Yeah, I was going to say, names are so important, especially in some cultures.
Oh, yes. It means everything. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize. See, we don't think that way. That's why we call somebody's name Stormy. Well, what do you think is going to happen in that person's life?
Storms.
Yeah. Chaos. We don't see that. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So what am I doing? I'm acknowledging that Jesus is who he says he is. Now see, they had Jesus as a prophet. Just a prophet, not the Son of God. Because to say that he was makes him equal with God. Mm-hmm. And see, that's blasphemous to them.
Yeah.
Now you got stoned for that. Yeah. And this was in a time frame when the Christians who were Jews before understood this. They understood that when they confessed Jesus as their Lord, mm-hmm. that they were being erased, that they were being cast out of the temple, that they were no longer considered right with the Jewish religion. They were excommunicated. They didn't...
Yeah.
Their whole families was against them.
That's what Paul was doing, was dragging them out of
their
places.
And then killing them. They had a reason to, based on the law. You see, but if they had read the law, they'd have found Jesus in it, because he's in there in every book of the Bible. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, that's what we do when we confess him as Lord and get saved. That's exactly what we're doing. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And he in God. So what happened? The Holy Spirit came in immediately when I did that. If I meant it.
And that's how we get to dwell in the heavenly places.
Yes. Okay. Because we're in Christ. He's in us. We talked about that last week in detail. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. See the importance of that love. When I get saved, love came in.
Mm-hmm.
It's in me, whether I'm walking in it or not. I have no excuse not to walk in love. I can't make an excuse for that. Mm-hmm. It's not... As far as God is concerned, it's sin when I don't, because I am love now. I got born of love. The Holy Spirit's in me. He quickened my spirit and made me alive. I am alive in God. God is alive in me.
Mm-hmm.
When I pray, I don't have to look out there. I look inside.
Oh.
Healing comes from inside, not outside. You know, because the Holy Spirit's living in me. Wisdom comes from inside. Everything we have to do within this life, almost everything, comes from inside.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit who lives in me. That's why it's so important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We won't go there right now. But it's important because it's the Spirit inside that's doing the praying. It's the Spirit inside that is bringing life. Like Romans 8 talks about.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit dwelling in me. Romans 8:11. If he who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that self same Spirit will quicken your short lived mortal bodies. healing comes from inside. Yes, it's out there, but it's in me because it's born in me. Mm-hmm. All that Jesus is and all the Holy Spirit is inside of me when I got born again. Mm-hmm. It's all there.
That's what Joyce Meyer said on, I was listening to a tape of hers when she said people call her up and they cry and they complain and this ain't right and that's going bad and everything. And she says, oh, for heaven's sakes, you're full of the Holy Ghost.
We've got a heart or a spirit full of life. Mm-hmm. But he needs to be fed. Mm-hmm. If I don't feed this spirit inside with the word, where's my life coming from then? My head's now in control. So therefore, my emotions are going to start working. But if I feed the Spirit and life is coming up, it's changing my mind. It's being renewed to think like God thinks, to think God's ways, to walk in His ways. Mm-hmm. But walking in the ways of the Lord comes from inside. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's busy quickening us as we study this, teaching us how to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, God is love, period. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So see the interchange here. I got born again, love came in. But now I'm abiding in him. See, God lives in me and I'm living in Christ. Wow. Praise God.
Wow. Our life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes, that's what Paul was saying. My life is hid with Christ in God. Psalm 37, and you need to read all of Psalm 37. I make it a point every day to confess that psalm, the whole thing. I lay claim to it for myself because I want it working in my life. And I want it. I voice it. And I'm the angels grab that word and go out. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, I got to correct myself with it. Mm-hmm. But that's just part of life. So Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Why? It's because this guy is delighting. He's delighting. He has a relationship here. This love relationship is flowing between God and the man. So God, even though this man falls, God can lift him up and hold him up, to where that fall will not be devastating. Okay. Well, Joshua was a good man, wasn't he? Joshua was a good man. We can look at God, or Joshua, and see a good man. For one thing, when Moses went up on the mountain to be with God, Joshua followed. And the word says he was right there not with him. He stayed down lower because Moses had to be alone. But Joshua would not leave. Mm-hmm. He was stuck with Moses wherever Moses went.
Wow.
And he was a good man. And that's why we know Joshua took over from Moses. Mm-hmm. Moses was actually teaching and training him. It was God training Joshua through Moses. That's what's happening. Joshua was a good man. His steps were ordered by the Lord. God told Joshua what to do in order to walk in the ways of the Lord. He was very specific with Joshua. And what he told Joshua is for us today too. It's not just for Joshua. Now, we need to see and know what God told Joshua when he took over. Joshua 1:9. Look at that. This is before Joshua took over, before they crossed over and took the nation. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? So this is something God commanded him to do. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, now this is a good idea, and if you're going to be successful, you need to do this, but it's a good idea and it's your choice. Well, God commanded him to do it. Now Joshua still had to make the choice. He still had to make the choice to do it. But as far as God's concerned, he will do it. Mm-hmm. I've commanded you this. Have I not commanded you? A question. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So He not only commanded him to be strong and of good courage, but the commandment carried over into do not be afraid nor be dismayed. That's all one commandment.
Wow.
He told him how to not be afraid and be dismayed by being strong and of good courage. Now, who had to choose to be strong and of good courage? God didn't have to make that choice. He called him to do it. He told him to do it. He said, you must do this. You be strong. You be of good courage. Then he said, do not. Now, what's that? That's a commandment. It's the same one. Do not be afraid. Now, did Joshua have an opportunity to be afraid? He got 2 million people out here. And they'd never been this way before. And he watched what Moses went through for 40 years. And now there's just, of all of them come out of Egypt, none of them are left. None of them. Mm-hmm. Just Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of those 2 million came in the desert. Mm-hmm. So see, he's got a big job. He's got to try to fill Moses' shoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the guy that pointed his rod and the Red Sea parted. Mm-hmm. The guy that pointed his rod and all those plagues. I mean, they knew what Moses could do, but this is Joshua. Mm-hmm. They didn't see him do anything. Mm-hmm. What he was the commander of the armies. Mm-hmm. But not only did he have now... He was suited for the commander of the armies. He commanded the armies under Moses. Mm-hmm. But now he's got to look at it differently than he did before. Mm-hmm. Now he's got to lead in a way that he's never led before. Mm-hmm. Someone else is commanding the armies. Mm-hmm. Now he's the one that's in communion with God the way Moses was. He's got to do things that Moses did. Mm-hmm. That he never did.
That he never did before.
And he's got to cross this Jordan River into the promised land and take all these countries, which they didn't do that before. Mm-hmm. So he has to have a lot of courage. That's why God personally met with him and said, look, Joshua, I'm going to command you to do this. Mm-hmm. And what that commandment meant was, Joshua,
trust me.
I'm going to strengthen you to do this. Mm-hmm. God never commands you or requires you to do something that he doesn't give you the power and the authority and the ability to do. Mm-hmm. So when he commanded Joshua to do this, he gave him the authority. Mm-hmm. I command you, therefore I'm giving you the authority, the ability, and the way that you, everything you need to do this, you have to walk it out. Mm-hmm. And that's not changed. Some of the storms of life that we go through, we have to be of good courage.
That's right.
And strong. And well, Paul put it this way in Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Stand, therefore. How long? However long it takes. Mm-hmm. Stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Take the whole armor of God, which he provides. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. We're not alone in this. Hallelujah. So, and the, one of the reasons that Joshua could take strength from the fact that God gave him the commandment and then said him not to be afraid nor be dismayed was for God himself said, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, I'm with you no matter what you go through. I am with you. I will never forsake you. No matter what that trouble is you're going to run into over there, I've already been there. I've already taken care of it. Your part is to be strong and of good courage. You do that, then I can do that. It's a partnership, and it still is today. Let's back up a couple verses to see what God told Joshua to do in order to be strong and of good courage so that he would be able to walk in the steps that were ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, Joshua's steps were ordered by the Lord, or ordered or laid out, mm-hmm. put in place. God made the path, and he was telling Joshua what to do. Where'd they go first? Jericho. And that was the most, as far as Joshua's concerned, commander of the armies. That's what he's done for 40 years. For God to tell him to walk 7 times, and on the 7th day to walk 7 times, and not shoot one arrow, not say one word, but to shout, and that's all you do? Mm-hmm. You know what it took for Joshua to do that? After fighting for 40 years hand to hand, and now he's got to tell the very soldiers that he led in fighting, taught them how to fight, and now as a leader, he's got to tell them not to fight. But do this dumb thing, Joshua? That's stupid. You know, but see, they had to have faith in Joshua too, mm-hmm. and to believe that he was hearing from the Lord. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here that we don't ever see. Mm-hmm. We don't ever think about. Mm-hmm. But this is how we face our own problems, the same way. Mm-hmm. By listening to God, mm-hmm. and God gives us things to do that makes no sense. You know, but do it his way, and it will work. Do it your way, and it won't. Or it'll be a lot longer getting it done. Mm-hmm. Or it'll hurt a lot more, mm-hmm. and might kill you. Mm-hmm. Let's go back a couple of verses to see what God told Joshua to do in order to be strong and of good courage so that he would be able to walk in the steps that were ordered by the Lord. Now, our steps are ordered by the Lord because of the Holy Spirit in us. We may not be walking in them, but he's ordered our steps. He set a path that I got to choose to walk in or not. Mm-hmm. What he told Joshua here in these verses applies to us as well. They're exactly the same. If God was talking to us, he'd tell us the same thing. And he is talking to us through the word. Back up to verse 7. I thought about doing this in an order as written, but the Holy Spirit told me to do it this way in order to point out what he told Joshua, how he told him to walk and to be strong in the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. That's where he told. In verse 9 he says, haven't I commanded you to do this? Mm-hmm. Well, verse 7 is where he commanded him to do it. Mm-hmm. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Now, today, it would be saying it this way, all they had was a law. Today, it would be the Word. The Word is our law. And that's the way it would be said if he was saying it today. Only be, and I'll read it that way, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the Word which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Mm-hmm. In other words, you stay with the Word, no matter what the circumstances are. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. That's what he's telling us to do and what he told Joshua to do. Verse 8, this book of the law, or the Word, shall not depart from your mouth. Mouth? What's he telling them to do? Talk it. Speak it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If Joshua didn't do that, he would have not succeeded. Now, he only had 5 books of the law, but he had to be in that law. In other words, if he just didn't sit there and think about it and meditate on it. No, He had to do it.
He had to do it.
Do it means he corrects himself with it. The same for us today. We have to look at the Word and allow the Word to correct us. When we do that, then the Holy Spirit can move through us. The angels can work. And they carry and bring forth that Word to pass because we're doing our part. So it's important that we do that. Now, the word meditate also means to mutter.
Really?
It really, that's part of that word, means to mutter. But you shall meditate in it. That's another reason why God said, shall not depart out of your mouth. You're supposed to be not only thinking about it. When we think about meditating, we're thinking about taking that scripture and just thinking about it, putting ourselves in it, becoming the various people that are in there, looking at how it would happen, kind of trying to visualize what the surroundings that are around this person, what he was thinking before he got there. That's meditating. That's kind of allowing the Word to build an inner picture within your heart. But it also means to mutter. Are you saying, or confessing the Word? You're muttering it. You're confessing it. Okay. So, but it, you need to do it consistently. And that's what he's saying. Day and night means, it doesn't mean that's all you do. If you're meditating on the Word, you can meditate the Word and be busy with what you're working with. You can meditate the Word as you go through a shopping center and see something. Mm-hmm. And God can speak to you that way through the circumstances that you're in. You're correcting yourself. You're praying for people as you go. You're looking at the circumstances that you're in and comparing it to different scriptures, you know. Mm-hmm. You're allowing the Word to decide, to make your decisions as you go, to help you with how I respond in this circumstance. That's all meditating on the Word. You got that flowing in your spirit all the time, day and night. That's also how you pray continuously. Mm-hmm. It's constantly having it flowing through what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Whether you're the world's champion button pusher, and all you do is push one button all day in a factory. That's all you do. Yeah, you can meditate while you're doing that. Okay, praise God, I love that. If Joshua did not do his part, then even though his steps were ordered by the Lord, Joshua would not have had success. It required not only God ordering the steps or putting them in place and making the provision, Joshua had a part. And if Joshua didn't obey the commandment God gave him to meditate on that word, in other words, God is telling him, you got to have this word in your heart. You got to be thinking this word when you go out there in that battle for Jericho. When you command these 2 million people, you've got to have the word in your heart to do it. Then I can speak through you. Then I can show you how to go. And it's the same today. If Joshua wouldn't have done that, he would not have been successful. He would have crossed that river and he would have attacked Jericho instead of doing what he was told. And they would have killed every one of them. But instead, they didn't fire one arrow. The walls all fell down. What a fight. Whether or not Joshua had success depended on Joshua doing his part. God had already made the provision. Joshua had to do his part. We pray for God to do things. We pray for him to move in certain areas, but we're not willing to do our part. Now, what is our part? Number one is to believe. To anchor what you're asking in the Word. To let the Word be final authority. This is what it says. I'm not moving off of this. That's my part. My part is to believe it. My part is to trust Him. My part is to order my steps to where they conform to God's ways. My part is to repent when I'm wrong. My part is to love God with all of my heart. To love Him, to talk to Him, to fellowship with Him. That's all my part. My part is to have Bible hope. which is absolute earnest expectation. That's Bible hope. It's not maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's absolute earnest expectation. What am I basing it on? The Word. The Word says this. So I allow the Holy Spirit to paint a picture inside me of the completed work. And that's what I'm doing. That's all my part. God can't do anything very much. He's very limited in what he can do without me doing that part. The more I apply my faith to the Word, allow patience to keep me, my faith applied to the Word, the stronger that hope is, the more the building blocks go into place. But when I let patience go away, when I don't stay with the Word, that blueprint, hope can't build. They have to have, all three have to be at work. My faith is always applied to the Word. That's why you got to keep going back to what the Word said. And let that be your anchor. God said, for it is written. That's the way Jesus did it. As you make the Word final authority, no matter what your brain says, no matter what the circumstances say, the Word says. That's got to be your stand. That you apply your faith to that and exercise that faith. Then patience goes to work. Hope jumped out there immediately. It already started its job when you prayed and you meant business. So now patience keeps you from now moment to now moment to now moment building towards that absolute earnest expectation coming to pass. They all function together, and without one, the others won't work. And we get mad at God because you didn't do his part. I didn't do mine. So how can he do his? It's by our choice. I hope that helps you, because I don't know about anybody else, but these messages are really helping me in my own personal walk. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. I want to be an instrument for his will. And I want to be able to share that with other people. And to share, because if we can walk in his ways, then he can flow through us, you know, to others. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us these principles, Lord. And I know when they're coming at us like this, one right after another, sometimes we tend not to understand it or comprehend it at the time. But Lord, the seed of the Word has went into our hearts and our lives. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that right in the moment that we need these principles, need these things, if we'll ask, you'll give them to us, Lord. You'll grant us wisdom. And we thank you, Lord, that the seed is sown and that you're able now to work with that seed and cause us to grow. Thank you for loving us so much that you teach us these things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.